we left off last week, we're trying to figure out the meaning of the cryptic statement of Rava, that Amar Rava, Chametz B'Pesach, is Asa B'Mashahu, Bein B'Mino, Bein B'Shelo B'Mino. That if you have a little bit of a tarovas, a little bit of a minuscule amount of Chametz that gets mixed into something on Pesach, it doesn't matter whether it's Min B'Mino, say for example, a little bit of Chametz Gedol gets mixed into a big, big batch of Kosher Pesach dough, or if it's been v'sheino mino, so a breadcrumb falls into a big, big pot of potato soup, it doesn't matter the ratio, shishim is not going to help you, 100 is not going to help you, another is going to help you, it's asa b'mashahu. The question is, where did that come from? What is that based on? So we had already three different possibilities in the Rishonim last week, just what this is all about. So we had Rashi's approach, that half of Rava's statement was normative halacha, and half of it was a chumra of chametz. The half that was regular, that was within the regular patterns of halacha, was the fact that b'mino is b'mashu, because Rashi happens to paskin, like the view that any tarobis of min b'mino is b'mashu. So a little bit of non-kosher chicken soup gets mixed into a big, 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 big pot of kosher chicken soup. It's also also b'mashu. So according to Rashi, the fact that chametz is also b'mashu, b'mino, is not a great surprise. The surprise is that even shalom b'mino is b'mashu, which that is not true in other areas of halacha. So that, we have to fall back on chumah d'chametz. So according to Rashi, half of Rava's statement is plain and simple, regular yoredeya, and the second half is something unique about chametz. According to Tosfos Shita, that we spoke a lot about last week, Tosfos holds that we don't follow Rav Yehuda. We paskin that min b'mino is not b'mashu in other areas of halacha. So therefore, when Rava said that chametz b'pesach is also b'mashu, that was a chumra b'yamo. It was a chumra mishum chumra de chametz, and that chumra applied both to min b'mino as well as min b'sheino mino. The whole thing is a chumra b'yamo. So according to Rashi, half of the statement of Rava is regular, and half is chumra. According to Tosfos, everything is chumra. But now we began to discuss the shittas of Rambam. The Rambam threw a curveball at us at the end of the shiur on Friday, but the Rambam told us that the reason why chametz b'pesach was also b'mashu is because of a principle called dover sheyesh l'matirin. Whenever you have something that's usur now, but going to become mutter in the future. We gave a few examples of this. We spoke about a beitzah shenol de biyontif. We spoke about chadash, about different surim that right now, temporarily, for a day, a week, month, 6 months, whatever it is, are problematic, but are going to become permissible at some point. So the Gemara says, all rules are broken. Davashesh matirin, afilu be'elaf lo batir. So if that's the case, says the Rambam, chametz is a classic davashesh matirin. Now that is a very, very loaded statement, because we have a lot to talk about. Is there other facts even true? Is chametz really davashesh matirin? What happened to chametz avlo v'pesach? But we got a lot of work to do about that later on in the week. But at least the Rambam's basic format of the sug is that chametz is a davashesh matirin, and therefore afilu be'elaf lo batir. The problem is that the Rambam himself does himself in. Because the Rambam, if we take a look back at the second of the Marmakomos, in the second of the Marmakomos, in the second halach of that Marmakom, halach Yud Beis, the Rambam says, Yiroi Ali, Shafilu Dova Sheyesh Lamatirin, Ibn Isare Bisha'eno Mino, Vlonos and Ta Mutar. The Rambam's view happens to be that the din of Dova Sheyesh Lamatirin, Afilu Bi Alflo Batil, only applies to min b'mino. Now, why that should be so, we have a lot of work to do on that also, but that is the shittas of Rambam. That's the Rambam's chiddush, that dover sheyesh matirin is limited in scope. It applies to min b'mino, not to min b'sheino mino. Now, let's skip down to the end of the second line of that Maariv Machom. So the Rambam says, v'al titma al chametz b'pesach. So wait a second, says the Rambam. According to what I just said, that chametz b'pesach is asa b'mashu, according to dover sheyesh matirin. And I just got finished telling you that Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin only applies to Mino. So, Taka, why is Chametz B'Pesach Asa B'Mashu Shalom B'Mino? If that drop of crumb of bread falls into my potato soup, why does the Gemara say it's Asa? Why do I myself paskin it's Asa, says the Rambam? So the answer is, don't wonder about that. Don't be so worried about that. Sha Torah Amra Kol Machmetas Lo Sochelu L'Fikech Echemiru Bo Kamosh B'Yarnu. What does the Rambam basically fall back on? Chumah d'chametz. Basically, Tosfos in a sense. Chumah d'chametz. Now, why the Rambam chose to quote a pasuk to demonstrate chumah d'chametz is a whole other world. We will talk about that also later on. But at least the format of the Rambam Shita, the structure is as follows. That min b'mino is me'ikar adin. not because of Rabbi Yehuda, Min B'Mino, in a bottle, not Rashi's Ikra Din, but Min B'Mino is Ikra Din because of Dovash Eish Matirin. The fact that we slap you with an additional Chumrah, that Dovash Eish Matirin is also even Shalom B'Mino, that the Chumrah is also even Shalom B'Mino, that's a Chumrah de Chumrah. So we're back to three different opinions in the Rishonim. What's the background? What's the reason? What is driving these two halachas? Why is it that chametz b'mashu b'mino? Why is the chametz b'mashu b'she'eno mino? According to Rashi, mino is mikra din, shalom b'mino is a chumra. According to Tosfos, they're both chumras. And according to the Rambam, the mino is mikra din of dovash eish matirin, and shalom b'mino is a chumra. But maybe we could suggest actually a fourth possibility. Not explicit in the Rishonim, but we do a little bit of work in between the lines. We may be able to come up with a fourth possibility. And that fourth possibility is really going to open up the sugya for us. So we barely scratched the surface of the sugya. The sugya is about to open up very, very quickly when we suggest a fourth possibility. What we're going to suggest is, sounds almost a little bit chutzpah to suggest it, we're going to argue with the Rambam directly. We're going to suggest, and don't get me wrong, it's not me. We're not discovering this, you know, T-neck on a Tuesday morning. Already, this is back to the Ramban, suggested this. Could be the Riff, is it? Could be people before the Ramban already suggested this. That we're going to potentially argue with the Ramban Zirali. We're going to try to argue that Dovash Eish L'Matirin is also Legamre, is also B'mashu, Bein B'mino, Bein Shalom B'mino. If we're going to take on the Rambam Zirali, and again, when the Rambam says Zirali, that means he didn't have a Raya from the Gemara for it, so we're comfortable with potentially arguing with the Rambam on this one. If that Shita is not acceptable, if we're willing to argue that Dovash Eish Matirin is also Bein B'mino, Bein Shalom B'mino, then we have a whole other way of understanding Rava. When Rava said Chometz U'Peis Chazos B'mashu, we will borrow the Rambam's classifying, categorizing Chometz as a Dovash Eish Matirin, but we will conveniently negate the Rambam's difference between Mim B'mino versus Mim B'she'eno mino. So we are free to say, if we're right, that we're not going to accept the Rambam's Yerali, you want to know why Chametz HaPesach Asim B'mashu? Because it's plain and simple Dovash Eish L'Matirin. And Dovash Eish L'Matirin is a reason to Asa everything B'mino. Bein B'mino, Bein Shalom B'mino, B'mashu is Asa across the board. Now that's quite a big challenge that we're coming to try to take on the Rambam. So let's see if we could find proofs from Gemara and Rishonim that in fact may be the case. That Dovash Eish L'Matirin may actually apply even Shalom B'mino. And if that's true, then we have a very, very simple way of reading Rava's Hilchasa, Chavus HaPesach Asa B'mashu, Bein B'mino, Bein Shalom B'mino. So it all starts out with the sugya in the third of the Marmakamos. It appears in Maseches Pesach, but it's not really a Pesach sugya. It's much more of a Chulin sugya than a Pesach sugya. So the Gemara has the following discussion. Amar Rav.
What's the Rambam's raya that it should only be Bein B'mino?
Well, it's Yerali. He had a raya from Tevel. He had an interesting raya from Tevel. Because Tevel happens to be also a potential Dovash Eish L'Matirin. That was his biggest raya of Yerali. So comes the Gemara Pesach, am I involved with the following discussion? A very, very relevant Lamaisa discussion. Amar Rav. Besai Shchuta Shamein Shetzolo and Besai Nevela Kochosh Osar. If a person is roasting two pieces of meat together in the oven at the same time, one is a piece of shechted meat, a piece of kosher meat, and one is b'sar nevela. Now, hopefully that's not too common lemaisa for us, but the principles are going to become critical for us in a moment. So a person has two pieces of meat that are roasting at the same time, and it happens to be that the kosher meat is the juicier, or is the fattier one. Oh, sir, it's still a problem. Why is it a problem? My time up. Mefat me mehadodei. The Gemara says that the two are getting pitum from one another. Pitum is like fattening, like there is some kind of a connection between the two pieces of meat. Now, this is a startling statement because the pieces of meat are not touching one another. We know the ABCs of tarovas, the ABCs of blias, of tam transferring from one to another. There has to be some kind of a contact. That contact has to have heat to it. So here we have heat. It's in an oven, but there's no contact. So the answer is the contact is not through direct contact. The contact is through aroma, through smell. We have not yet, we've been learning chul for 3 months, we haven't yet even bumped into this concept. This is what's called reich, reicha milsa. That Rav says that the mere fact that the two things are smelly and giving off an aroma to one another is a problem. V'levi Amar, Levi said, no, it's not a problem. Afilu b'sah shchuta kocha shetzolam b'sah neveh l'shamen. We can leave out the details where one is fat, one is skinny. It doesn't matter for us. Mutter, everything is mutter. You know why? By time of recha b'yalam over recha lav milsehi. Levi says, lohoyu dvar me'olam. There's no such thing. Tam spreads by touching. Tam doesn't spread by reach. So Machlokes Rav and Levi, what's the status of reach? One can already begin to sense, whoa, this could have very, very serious ramifications for us in our ovens as well. So Machlokes Rav and Levi. So now comes the Gemara, the third of the Rambam Kamos, and tells us, Tani Rav Kahana Beredi Rav Chilina Sapa. So Rav Kahana taught us a braisa. When the Gemara says Omar, that would mean he's speaking on his own. The Gemara says Tani, that means he's telling us a braisa, so something back in the days of the Tanoim. Pas she'afa im tzli b'tanur, if you bake bread in an oven at the same time that you had meat in that oven. So now we're not discussing whether the bread is treif, but we are discussing whether the bread is fleishik or not. So comes the braisa and says, asa la'akla b'kuscha, you are not allowed to eat that bread with kuscha. Kuscha is a milchik dish, not a yogurt dish. You are not allowed to eat that bread together with milchiks. So basically what the braisa just taught us is that the bread became fleishiks. Now once again, how did the bread become fleishiks? It was 6 feet away from the meat, then it came anywhere near the meat, didn't touch the meat. The answer must be through the reach. It must be that the reach, that the aroma, the smell of the meat, permeates into the bread and transforms the bread to become fleishik bread, thereby prohibiting it to be eaten with milchiks. So it sounds like we had a machloikas Rav and Levi. We have a braisa that seems to support one of the sides that this is a problem. And it sounds like, okay, so that's it, then fine, finish. Machloikas, we have a braisa, and the sugya comes to an end. So not so fast. So comes the riff. Comes the riff in the fourth of the Marmar Kamos, the riff in Chulin Daf Lamed Beis Ibn Aleph, and has the following. And then the other case, we'll stop that. So comes the riff and says, that which the braisa says, that this bread is fleishik, that has nothing to do with the machlokes Rav and Levi, says the riff. Even according to Levi, the bread is fleishik, which is a startling statement. It's the same question. Either you do accept rech, or you don't accept rech. But if you look even from the style, from the text of the Gemara never used this braisa to refute Levi. The Gemara never quoted this. The Gemara quoted the Machlokes Rav and Levi, and then quotes the braisa, and kind of leaves the sukkah hanging. The Gemara never said, you see that Levi's wrong. So it says the riff, you get the impression from the sugya that this braisa stands on its own 2 feet. This braisa is true even according to Levi. And the question is, well, how could that be so? If you really deny recha, you hold recha lav milsa, so why should this be a problem? So we're going to skip a little bit down the riff to the part that's relevant for us. So let's take a look, 2 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line. V'yel d'hai pas she'afoy matzli, kevin d'sharya b'chud b'lo kuscha, Havalah kedava sheyesh la matirin, v'chodava sheyesh la matirin, afilu be'elef lo batil. V'chodava sheyesh la be'elef kerecha be'amuhu, v'afilu be'elef lo batil, ho v'yesh la matirin. Boom. What in the world did the Rif just tell us? The Rif told us a phenomenal insight. The Rif told us that, let's play devil's advocate for a minute, that recha lav milsa. Let's take Levi. Recha is nothing. Recha is meaningless. One can raise a chakira. What does that mean that rech is meaningless? You can understand rech meaningless in one of two ways. Either rech meaningless means, it's meaningless. It doesn't register on our radar screen. Rech is just not a way to transfer time. Finish, end of discussion. Or maybe no. Maybe even Levi agrees that rech does transfer time, but the amount, the quantity of time that's transferred is so minuscule that it will automatically, by definition, be batel. In normal cases, we built a b'shishim. So what do the words mean, according to Levi, recha la milsa? Rav holds recha is milsa. But even we're isolating Levi shita right now, that recha is la milsa. Don't worry about it. You have chazer and meat roasted. You got to forget about it. Don't worry. Everything's okay. Why? Either because nothing happened. Zero. There was no transfer tam. Recha is not a vehicle to transfer tam. Or recha is a vehicle to transfer tam. It's just the amount of tam is so negligible. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. By nafkamina, at the end of the day, it's mutter. A tremendous nafkamina. What if the question in hand is a davashesh l'matirin? So now, everything's going to depend on the shayla. If you hold that nothing happened. But if you hold that something did happen, time was transferred, The only thing is, it's just a small amount of tam that is subject to bittul. Very nice, it's subject to bittul, but not by davashesh matirin, because davashesh matirin feel be aflo batil. So the Rif is assuming the bittul pshat. The Rif is assuming the reason why Reich alav nilsa is not because Levi ignores tam, not because Levi ignores Rech. Rech exists, it registers on the radio screen, but to such a small amount, we can ignore it. But when you have a davashesh matirin, you can't ignore it. Comes the Rif and says, when you have a case of chazir and kosher meat roasting together, that's a dover she'en lamatirin. Chazir is also, it's also the other one. So chazir is subject to bittul. But when you have meat, kosher meat, and bread, and you're just simply paskening, is the bread fleishik or not? Guess what? The fleishikness of the bread is a dover she'en lamatirin. What's the dover she'en lamatirin? Eat it with fleishiks. Have a turkey sandwich with it. What do you have to have cream cheese on it? Why do you have to eat that bread with dafka and milchiks? We can even plug in the words from Rashi from last week. Acha tochlenu b'yisur, tochlenu b'heter. Why eat it with milchiks and get involved in relying on bittul when you can easily eat it with parva, eat it with fleishiks, and don't rely on bittul?
Is that a double shayishim material? You want to eat milchiks. It's never asur, meaning you could say, I don't understand.
Anyone's bothered conceptually, is that really truly called a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin?
In the first place.
Okay, very good, very good.
It's
better than a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin.
But you'll never be able to eat it with milk.
Right. So this is a chiddush in the Rif, that it's called something that has an option of doing it derech heter, is also called a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Now, we'll see in a minute where this comes from. It's not Rif didn't make this up out of Yesh B'Yayin.
That opens my eyes entirely. I thought Dover Sheyesh Matirin was time dependent.
Oh, very good. So Dover Sheyesh Matirin is not only time. The Gemara has Lamasha. The Gemara has a discussion about Metzia about if you have a Tarobus and Maisa Sheni. That may also be Dover Sheyesh Matirin. Why? Because you can be pulled to it. So Dover Sheyesh Matirin could mean things that, let's say, a very, very famous Shahada the Rishon discussed, a very, very potential Nafkaminas. Let's say you have 10 spoons. All kosher, and one is treif. And the one treif a spoon gets mixed in with the 10 kosher spoons, bottle or not bottle. So some Rishonim say, it's a Dover Sheyesh Matirin. What's a Dover Sheyesh Matirin? Kash them. Dover Sheyesh Matirin, you can kash them. So that's a very, very loaded question. Is that called Dover Sheyesh Matirin? Yeah. That could potentially mess up your entire kitchen. So back to the story. So comes the Rif and invokes the principle of Dover Sheyesh Matirin and says that even though it could be we follow Levi, it's very possible Levi's right, that Reach does not really pose serious problems to kashrus. But the buck stops here when you're dealing with fleishiks and parv and milchiks, so then we can invoke this new concept of Dover Sheyesh Matirin. But we have a big problem with this Rif, a potentially big problem with this Rif. This application of Dover Sheyesh Matirin, let's look very, very carefully at this. We're talking about potential reach / tam of fleishiks being nivla into the bread and creating a problem that subjects us to the chumra of Dover Sheyesh Matirin. That ta'aroves of meat and bread, what kind of ta'aroves is that? That's a min, v'she'en omino. Meat and bread are not the same thing. Meat and bread are two different species, two different items, two different ingredients. And the afal pichein, the Rif is willing to call that a davar she'yesh lematirin. L'chora, you see from this Rif, and the Rif's calling this davar she'yesh lematirin, that the Rif was the one who argues with the Rambam's Yirali, that the Rambam says Yirali, and the Rif, who was the Rambam's Rebbe. The Rambam's Rebbe was his father, Rebbe Maimon's father, Rebbe was the Rimagash, and the Rimagash, so Rebbe was the Rif. So the Rambam always considered himself to be part of that chain of tradition. Wait a second, here the Rambam's diverting from that chain. The Rambam is saying that Yerul Ali, with his Chiddush, which he didn't really back up that much, and now we're saying, wait a second, the Rif must disagree for the fact that the Rif applies this idea of Dover Sheyesh Matirin, even though clearly this is Mimashen Amino. So I'm not the first one to discover the Rif. The Ramban discovered this Rif. The Ramban suggests that in Hochinami, that which the Rambam said Yerali is not accepted by the Rif. Now again, going back to the Chometz part of the story, if this Shitas HaRif exists, like it seems to exist, at least at this point seems to exist, that we have found the fourth phantom Rishon as to why Chometz is based, because Asim Mashu, Bebe Minu, Bebe Shlomino. The Rambam may be right that it's based on Dover Sheyesh Matirin, but unlike the Rambam, who never had to fall back on Chometz, the Chometz a little bit, we're not required to do so. We could call Chometz a plain and simple Dover Sheyesh Matirin, Bebe Mino, Bebe Sheino Mino, Me'ike, because there's no need to fall back on Chometz. So if we're right in our assessment of the Rif, then we have found that fourth sheet in Rishonim. However, the question is twofold. First of all, where did the Rif get this from? Is there any source for this idea? And did we really read the Rif accurately? So we take a look on the next page, on the fifth of the Mamre Kamos. So there is a Mishnah in the end of Maseches Beitza, the fifth of the Mamre Kamos, Beitza Daf Lamed Zayin, where the Mishnah is talking about the halachas of Tchumen, but not the halachas of Tchumen about how far you can walk. It's talking about how far your items can walk, can be brought. There is a halacha that when Shabbos and Yonta begins, so you are bound in your box. You become bound by your tchumen. You can only go 2,000 amas out of your city limits. The reason why 99.99% of the time none of this applies to us because we have very, very huge city limits. In the olden days, a whole city was three houses. So if you lived out in the middle of nowhere, you're in the middle of the forest when Shabbos and Yonta started, so then you have 2,000 amas. If you're in a city, then you have 2,000 amas from where the city ends. If you're out in the forest, you have 2,000 amas from where you're standing in all directions. Past that, you're not allowed to walk, neither on Shabbos or on Yonta. Today, we very rarely have tchumen of any significance because we have such tremendous cities. A city doesn't mean, you know, the zip code 07621 ends on Briarcliff. It doesn't mean that's the end of the city because there's a house across the street. So as long as you have houses that continue, so Teaneck becomes Bergenfield, becomes New Milford, becomes Dumont, whatever it comes. It's just
Virginia.
One, because it's one very, very ongoing city. Until you have a real, real break of something, some natural break of some real, real stretch of land without any houses, you can enter into a new city. That's why for us, you can walk from one end of Teaneck to the other end of Teaneck. You can walk for hours on end, and tchumen doesn't really speak to us. Tchumen speaks to us when you're out in the mountains. Found the boonies somewhere for every Shabbos, then you have to be careful. There is, if you go up to the bungalow colony, sometimes you'll see they actually have signs and markers that say Adkan Tchum Shabbos. It's not such a far walk. It's about a 15, 18 minute walk. It's very, very short. Tchum, it is not that far, 2,000 amos, past the point of where the halachic city ends. So get back to the story. So the din of Tchumen not only applies to you, it applies to your items as well. Anything that belongs to you cannot be brought out of the tchum. Now, on Shabbos, that's very rarely going to happen because you're not going to be carrying anyway. But in Yontif, you're allowed to carry certain things in Yontif. So your food is subject to your tchumen. So now we have the following shayla. I have an item that has in it ingredients from different people, and different people have different tchumen. Depending on where, let's say, you had a whole bunch of people together. One person camped out over here, another person camped out 500 feet away, another person camped out 1,000 feet away. Different people have different boxes, potentially, for how far their items are allowed to be carried. And now you can have an item that belongs to multiple people. So that's what the Mishnah says. Ha'isha shesholem echavet ha'tavlin u'mayim u'melech li'sa, so really kirag li'shteyen. What if a woman is making a dough on Yom Tov? She's allowed to bake on Yom Tov. And she runs out of some spices, she runs out of salt, runs out of water, and she asks a friend who has a different tchum box, because that person started Yom Tov in the next bungalow colony. So now you have this challah, you have this cake, and this cake has the worst of both worlds. This cake cannot travel my tchum, out of my tchum can't go out of your tchum, and the different boxes. So we just limited how far this cake can go. So that's what the Mishnah says, the cake can only be brought kirag l'shteyan, only as far as everybody involved, whoever has a share in this cake, so they're going to impact on the limitation of how far this cake is permitted to be carried. So comes the Gemara, the sixth of the Mamre Kamos, in Beitza Lamaches, and asks the very Yoredeya Shaila in the end of Maseches Beitza, Amai, v'lifto mai v'melcho gabi isa. Why do we have to be worried about the little bit of salt, a little bit of spice, a little bit of stuff that belongs to Rachel? And Rachel had a different tchumen, and she's throwing us off base. We wanted to walk this cake 1,900 amas in this direction, and Rachel screamed, you can't do that. Got my salt in that cake. You can't budge. You can't move. Let Rachel's salt be bottled. Let it be bottled to the rest of the... How much salt is there altogether? It should be bottled to the rest of the Yisa. So comes the Gemara, the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, and says, "Ravashi Omar, Mishum Da'avel Le Dova Sheish Lematirin, V'chol Dova Sheish Lematirin, Afilu Bi'alaf Lo Batil." No, says Ravashi, going chutz to tchum is a Dova Sheish Lematirin. Why is it a Dova Sheish Lematirin? The pashtus is because you can wait left the yontif. If you have to do whatever you want, so why should you rely on the heter of bittul baro, bittul bashish, whatever the numbers are? Wait it out for a few hours, and then everything will be heta gomor. So Rav Ashi plugs in the plain old simple rule of Dovash Eish Lamatirin to explain pshat in this Mishnah. So again, so we have a Mishnah Beitza that says explicitly that when you have a little bit of salt, a little bit of spice, a little bit of water that's mixed into this tremendous, tremendous dough, we have to reckon with everybody sharing this dough, and Huchas Tchumah are going to reflect that reality. asks the Gemara, what happened to Bittul? He answers the Gemara, there's no Bittul here. Dov Shesh Matirin, don't bother me. There's no Bittul, Dov Shesh Matirin. So comes the Ramban and says, wait a second, let's go back to the drawing board. What items are we talking about? We're talking about salt being bottled in a dough. Really? Salt and dough are not the same thing. That's not a min b'mino. That's a min b'sheino mino. So says the Ramban, wait a second. If salt and dough are min b'sheino mino, and the Gemara is still invoking the principle of dov v'sheish matirin, what do you see from here? The dov v'sheish matirin, I feel b'yaflo batil, all the time. Doesn't matter whether it's min b'mino, doesn't matter whether it's min b'sheino mino, dov v'sheish matirin crosses party lines, it's asas b'mashu legamre. Says the Ramban, this is the Gemara that the Rif discovered. The Rif tucked away in Maseches Chulin, Daf Lamed Beis, the Dapi Arif. The Rif is learning a sugya in Chulin, and he's looking at the sugya in Chulin through the eyes of the Gemara Maseches Beitza. So now let's connect the dots for us. So we have three different sugyas. We have a sugya in Psachim about Chometz HaPesach Asim HaMashim. We have a sugya in Psachim about roasting meat together with bread in the oven at the same time. We have a Gemara Beitza talking about things being bottled, not being bottled, vis-a-vis tchumen. We have three different areas of halacha, legamrei different. One is pure kashrus, one is chametz bepesach, one is achus tchumen. They have nothing to do with each other. They have everything to do with each other. They're all three examples of dov v'sheish matirin afilu b'yaflo batil, and they're all three examples where we can plug in that principle, even by min b'sheino mino. So says the Ramban, Baruch Hashem, we have found the fourth shita. We have discovered is shita sarif. Of course, this Gemara in Maseches Beitza has to be able to be deflected in some way. There has to be some way to avoid getting stuck in this Gemara. Otherwise, we have a big problem. The Rambam Zira Ali. The Rambam also learned Beit Zadav Lamechaz. The Rambam also knew what it said in Beit Zadav Lamechaz. He also quotes this Gemara. So what's pshat? How could the Rambam live with this Gemara? What is the Gemara saying? So, Tosfos already was bothered with this kasha. Tosfos in Beit Zadav says that an Isa, well, that's called min b'mino. You know why? Because even though it's not literally min b'mino, but every dough needs salt, needs water, needs spices, needs sugar. That's by definition halachically called min b'mino. Why that is, I don't know. That's what Zoy Shteyten Toys says. That this Gemara, just forget about this Gemara. This Gemara is not going to make or break anything in your understanding of Dov v'sheish matirin. But the Rif and the Ramban didn't think that way. So when all the dust settles in terms of our sugya of chametz beis asim lashil, we have three official positions that appear in Rishonim explicitly. That is Shitas Rashi. Again, that Rashi holds that Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino ein abotam midaraisa, and min b'she'en amina by chametz was a chumer de chametz. We have Tosfos who says that the whole sugya mitchil v'atzof was a chumer de chametz. We have the Rambam who says that min b'mino is the regular din of Dov v'sheish matirin. Min b'she'en amina was the chumer de chametz. And now we have the Ramban b'das harif who we're guessing is saying that no, Dov v'sheish matirin carries the day by itself. You don't need any chumras. It's just a plain, simple din. Dov v'sheish matirin feel of a batel. And we have two precedents in halacha that it applies even b'min b'she'en amino. That is the Rif of Maseches Chulin, and the precedent for the Rif was the sugi Maseches Beitza. So we sound like we should be satisfied with what we've accomplished. We found the Shita Zarif. We even brought a raya for the Shita Zarif. We elaborated upon the Shita Zarif. We discovered that Shita in Rishonim, who apparently says, the emphasis of the word apparently says, that Dov v'sheish matirin is afilu b'elf l'botel, afilu b'mishen amino. However, came along the Ran in Maseches Nedarim. You can take a look at the size of the Ran in Maseches Nedarim, and I think I cut off a good chunk of it. Okay, so if you have a lot of free time today, so you can take a look at the Ran.
Rambam doesn't explain
this. The Gemara Maseches Beitza. I don't remember that the Ram gives a reason for the din. I have to take a look. I don't remember, but the Ran in Maseches Nedarim opens up our eyes to Dov v'sheish matirin, and this is probably the most famous Ran in all of Maseches Nedarim. And we will hopefully begin to discuss this round. I didn't say end discussing, but begin to discuss this round tomorrow, because this round is the round doesn't need my stamp of approval, but is Bamashay is literally gold. Every single word in this round, the round is going to revamp our understanding of Tarovis, revamp our understanding of Dov v'sheish matirin, revamp our entire approach to everything that we've been talking about, and give you a whole fundamentally different look, a different view of everything that's been going on for the last couple of days. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll begin to talk with the details of this one.